Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Grab your Bibles. We're going to dive right into the word. I have a fresh word just for you today, especially on launch Sunday with life groups and teams. It's so near and dear to my heart because truly in ministry, where I got started was right in a life group. And I just felt like in worship, the Lord spoke to me that some of you have a heart for full-time ministry. Guess where you start? It's right there, ministering the word of God to your neighbors, to your friends, right in your home, in the coffee shop, wherever it is. It's just being willing and ready. And as a matter of fact, and I'll tell you the story, turn with me to Acts 2:42. And as you do, let's talk about your pastors here. I'm sure many of you didn't know this, but Pastor Daniel and Karen, before they were pastors, before they were even in full-time ministry, were my life group leaders. And my parents hosted them at our home that I grew up as a kid. So I would come home late at night after school, after sports, and they would be there in the home preaching the word, encouraging, and they always prayed over me. They always encouraged me. Amen. And that relationship has been over 20 plus years. They saw Pastor Josh and I together before we did. They were the ones, they were little matchmakers, all right? So thank you so much. I appreciate that. Amen. So life groups will forge and will build lifelong friendships and connections that will change your life forever. Well, let's read together this morning in Acts 2:42. Every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another, sharing communion and coming together regularly for prayer. A deep sense of awe swept over everyone, and the apostles performed many miracles, signs, and wonders. All the believers were in fellowship. How many? All the believers were in fellowship as one body, and they shared with one another whatever they had. Out of generosity, they even sold their assets to distribute the proceeds to those who were in need among them. Daily, when did they meet? Daily, they met together in the temple courts and in one another's homes to celebrate communion. They were continually filled, filled with praises to God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord kept, let's read this together, and the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were coming to life. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're already in this place. You're already moving in power, that you're activating, you're stirring up, Lord, the gifts. I even see this morning that those gifts that have been dormant, those areas of your life that God has called you, he's calling you up and he's calling you out this morning. He's saying that you can do more. The Lord says he's expanding your capacity. Those of you that say, I just can't do anymore, the Holy Spirit says you can do it in me. I'm stretching wide those tent pegs. I am doing a work in you. I feel like the Lord says that there's many people in this room that are going to say a yes to me today, that are going to surrender, that are not going to allow fear, that are not going to allow the lies of the enemy, but there's going to be a people that stand in the will and the purposes of God. If you believe that, can you just give a shout of praise to the Lord today. Hallelujah. Give somebody a high five and you can be seated this morning. Last conference in June, Dr. Morocco on our morning session preached a powerful message from the book of Acts. And he had about 8 points, and honestly, I don't remember them all, okay? That's why you should take good notes, right? But one of the points, his last and final point, his eighth point of this message as he's taking us through the book of Acts and the power of community is he said something so significant that hit me is he says, the power of we over me. Say that with me, the power of we over me. And he began to break down in the book of Acts that in Acts 16, it was the first time in the book of Acts where it said us or we. And then later in chapter 20, it came back again. And it's this picture of how God was knitting the people together, Paul and Timothy and Luke, and God was doing something in the church. Dr. Morocco said this, we can't build a great church without the we. How many of you believe that? We cannot build a great church without the we. Statistics show that as a pastor, I can only effectively, probably truly disciple 12 to 20 people. Now I'm gonna say if Jesus only had 12, I probably can only truly disciple 12 people. How are we gonna disciple nations? How are we gonna disciple this area in Alaska, these hundreds of people, if we don't all rise up? It's not about the one, it is about the we. And the title of my message this morning is We the People. Say that with me, we the people. The power of we over me. I love this African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. You are a part of an amazing church with a 44-year history in Maui and all over the world. Alaska has been here for how many years now? 25 years. Come on, let's give God a hand clap for the longevity. Early on in ministry, somebody once told me, Pastor Shannon, if you're gonna survive in ministry, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And my prayer has always been, Lord, help me to run long and strong. And I wanna run not by myself, I love team. I am a team kind of girl. When I get a vision, I don't wanna run by myself. I wanna pull anybody and everybody that's willing to run with me to fulfill the vision. And if God gives you a dream and God gives you a vision and you can do it on your own, your dream is too small. I've realized that when God gives me a God dream, there's no way in the world that I could ever, ever do it on my own. It requires a team. And you know, even in our history of America, we know those famous words of we the people. The phrase we the people is significant because it is the opening of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution in which our whole government was founded upon. Here's these forefathers had to come together and try to come together in unity to establish a new country and a new government. They understood that a nation, in order to survive and thrive, that they would have to come together. They would have to unify. Despite intense debates, compromises were made. And this document came together with a collective vision. And I believe even as we see in our history of America, even more before ever there was an America, there was the world that God created and a people that he created to stand together in unity, amen? So he is calling us to be we the people, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So you might say, why is we better than me? We live in a narcissistic culture. It's about me, myself, and I. We call it the unholy trinity. Everything is about what I want, how I feel. I need that. I need this. We want the world to revolve around us. As a matter of fact, in Maui, just the other day, there's a brand new restaurant going up. I was talking to somebody, and this man said, and they're this brand new restaurant, this Korean barbecue restaurant, which I'm really excited about, by the way. It's very good, very good. So when you come to visit, you can come. And they were saying, but they're having a hard time finding workers. And I was like, there's plenty of people that should be running after jobs, but we're either wanting the government support or we just don't want to work. We've got to stand as a people, not just about me focus, but we focus. Community is what builds a strong community, amen? So what are the benefits and the blessings of living in a Christ-centered community? I want to share six things with you this morning that I believe is going to encourage you as this is your launch Sunday into life groups and teams. And I hope at the end of this, this will stir you to get connected, stir you to get involved. I'm not about preaching an eloquent sermon. Every time I pray and I prepare, I say, God, I want to see fruit. Lord, may you use me to see fruit. So I'm going to challenge you that out of this message, don't let just be a message. Let it be a movement in your heart to make steps toward doing something great for God. So number one, here are the benefits and the blessings of being a part of the we, is we experience help. And for those of you that know me well and have heard me preach before, I love acronyms. As a matter of fact, I'm sure I'll write a book of all acronyms someday. It's on my list of books to write. And help stands for you'll find healing, encouragement, love, and prayer. It's in those life groups that when you're broken and you're hurting and you need people to surround you and embrace you, you will find healing. You will find deliverance. You will find encouragement when life tries to hit you. Come on, those life group members that are walking life with you will say, you can do it. Don't give up. You'll have prayer. You'll be loved. You know, one thing we get all the time in our church in Maui is I've never been so loved before. I help run our Discover track there, and I always ask people, you know, how did you hear about Kings? Tell us about your experience. And they said, I walked in and I got hugged here and I got a handshake there and a smile there, and people sat with me and people loved on me, and then you prayed for me and then you gave me a gift and then you invited me to your home and then you gave me a free cup of coffee. I said, that's our church. That's we. That is Kings. Amen. And I love the story of Mary Magdalene, who is a woman who was demon-possessed with seven demons. A woman like that was isolated. She was rejected. She was feared. No one wanted to be around her. She did not know love. I'm sure she was abused. I'm sure she was taken advantage of. And then one day Jesus meets her and her whole life is changed. But it didn't end there, people. It didn't end with just one touch from Jesus. She got a part of a community. She was one of the only women disciples. I love that. I'm like, okay, I can identify with that, right? She traveled with Jesus. She lived alongside. She saw the miracles. She was the woman that Jesus revealed himself to first after he was resurrected. See, in community, you'll find healing, you'll find wholeness, you'll find love and encouragement. In Ephesians 4:16, it says, from him, the whole body, joined together, held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds, underline that if you have that in your Bible, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We are all called to do our part in bringing God's love, bringing God's healing, bringing encouragement, and praying for people. That's not just the pastor's job. It's not just the leader's job. That is called the body of Christ. How many of you say, I'm gonna help? I'm gonna help heal. I'm gonna help encourage. I'm gonna help love, and I'm gonna pray for people. In Walmart, come on, in the coffee shop. That is how we do church. We pastored in Oahu for almost 12 years, and I remember Pastor Josh and I were about 5 years in to the church, and you know, we would pray for our community. We would walk our block where we lived and prayed, and you know, there was this couple that we heard about and we had met but didn't go to our church, but they were incredible influencers in Oahu. They owned one of the biggest companies, multimillionaires, and you know, one day I saw them come into the back of our church on a Sunday night. What I didn't know is that weeks before, they had lost everything. Everything they had built was crumbled. They lost their home, they lost all their assets, and they had nothing. And they were desperate. And that one night, that wife, they were believers, but the wife said, oh God, I need your spirit. I need your Holy Spirit. And they drove by our church almost every day. And she says, well, let's go to that King's church. Let's go. I heard that they have a Holy Ghost night. Amen. And so they walked into our church. They got loved on. They got prayed for. They got encouraged. And from that day on, they began to be a part of our church. But what was significant is that woman began to follow me into every single one of my life groups that I led. How many know they came into the church, they got touched, but they were pretty broken. She was really discouraged. Her children were suffering. Her daughter, her oldest daughter, was suffering with anorexia. And I had, you know, Pastor Shet, myself, I had back then, I said, I had one group at 10 a.m. at Kahala Mall. And then I'd get in my car and drive down to Ala Moana. And I would have another life group at noon. And then on Monday nights, I would have another women's life group. And then on a Wednesday night, I would lead a real life seminar. I mean, I was what you call a life group junkie. Any life group junkies in here? I am telling you, life groups have been have played the most significant role in my life, in my growth, not only in ministering, but receiving ministry. But this woman came with me every single time I went to life group. Because why? She was getting healed. She was getting encouraged. She was getting prayed for. She was getting loved. And to this day, they're now one of our top leaders, our top givers. God has restored what was lost. They're now being used mightily. Their daughter now is in full-time ministry at our church in Oahu. The power of life groups. But the second point is not only do we experience help, but we carry each other's burdens. Galatians 6:9 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Have you ever tried to carry something extremely heavy by yourself and it almost killed you? The weight of it is just so great. But when you grab your friends, when you call your kids and you say, come on, I need some help, that load becomes lighter. See, this world, there's many loads that we carry. There's many stresses. There's so many things that try to come up against us. But the power of we is that you don't have to carry it alone. Somebody needs to hear this morning, that you're trying to carry it all alone. That's for somebody. I didn't say this in first service, so it's obviously for somebody in second service, but some of you are isolated and you're trying to carry it alone. There's a burden, there's a weight, there's a situation. God says, reach out for help, because you have sisters and brothers that come to carry that weight, and that weight is not as great anymore. It's just like Jethro when he told Moses, hey, Moses, you're gonna die under this pressure. This is gonna be too much for you. Raise up leaders that can help bear the weight, that can help minister to the people. That is the power of life groups, is God is giving you his hand extended, Pastor Daniel's hand extended, Dr. Rocco's hand extended, to be a part of a church that begins to carry the weight together. Think about the man that was paralyzed in the New Testament. I love this. I wanna be that kind of friend. There was four friends that said, dude, get on your mat. We're taking you to Jesus. They fought through the crowd. They couldn't get in the front door, so they got really creative. I like these boys. If I'm gonna mentor any boys, I want some boys that are gonna be creative. I mean, I really don't wanna know how much it costs afterwards to repair the roof, but I really commend their faith and their perseverance, that they took their friend and they lowered him through the roof to Jesus, because that man needed some friends. That man needed those boys to carry his burden. He probably didn't have faith. See, there's moments in time where you don't have the faith. That's why you need a life group, because you know what they do? They come knocking at your door and says, I know you feel depressed. I know you're discouraged. I know you're offended, but you're not staying in this house. You're getting to church. You're coming in my car. You're coming to life group. We're gonna do whatever we can, because God's got a plan. God's got a destiny on your life. We carry each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It's Christ who did that. He gathered the broken, the hurting, the misfits, the mess ups, and he made them into world changers. How many of you know when you gather in a life group, when you gather people that might seem like a lot of mess ups and have issues, that you're raising up world changers? You got Minister Leah here on the front row. She was in my youth ministry in Maui. And you know what? She was in my life group. And every Thursday, I would get the church van, and I would jump in that van, and I would go pick up my girls. And I would go knock on her door. And this girl had the audacity to hide from me. She, at that time, she's a mighty woman of God, full of power, not right now, but back then she was a teenager who didn't want to go to life group, who didn't want Pastor Shannon preaching at her, that didn't want Pastor Shannon holding her accountable. But I said, you weren't minister back then. I said, Leah, get in the van. And look at her today. Come on, don't give up. Don't give up on people, amen? You never know the destiny, the power that lies within them. But we're called to carry each other's burdens. When we were in Oahu, we had 1 year where we did these Easter egg hunts. I mean, you know, Pastor Kirsten, the king of Easter egg hunts. And in Maui, I don't think you guys do it here because you do one big one or two big ones, right? In Maui and in Oahu, we did like six of them. It was like marathon egg hunt in every city. We just went crazy and it was exhausting. And we were on our last egg hunt, which was in our backyard of our church, which was in Neo Valley. And it was raining. It was the smallest crowd. We were tired and we were like, this is so ridiculous. We should be home right now. Don't ever underestimate those moments. And as I look from a distance, I see this woman and her two daughters walking. And my husband, being the gentleman that he is, as it was raining, he came to put the umbrella over her head. And she goes, I don't need your umbrella. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She had some attitude. Well, anyways, I just started loving on her and asking her questions. I said, oh, how did you hear about coming? And she goes, oh, I got a flyer in my door. So we had nothing else to do. So we thought we'd just come down and check it out. And let me tell you, it was not the polished Easter egg hunt that we wanted it to be, but God still used us and our faithfulness. And that woman not only got blessed at that Easter egg hunt with her daughters and was blessed by our love and by our generosity, but we invited them all to our Easter service the next day. And guess what? She showed up. She's a single mom, came from brokenness. Her husband left her. The kids are grieving. The husband was in Japan. It was not a good story. Well, guess what? That day she gave her heart to Jesus. She came right up to the front. And then we took her in the back and I began to minister to her. And I invited her to my life group, which was the next night on a Monday night. I say, do you have a life group? Come to my group. Come. So she came to my group. And let me just tell you, in that year, she received so much healing. So much restoration. Her kids got involved in the youth ministry. She became a different woman. That woman that bit at my husband was not the woman that she was a year later. She started serving in our community ministry and loved food distribution. She just stepped all in and we discipled her. We loved her through life groups. And one day I get a call. She was in the hospital with just some stomach issues and I get a call. This is the worst call you can get as a pastor. That she had passed away. Tragically passed away. And they wanted me to be there to tell the kids. See, life group is more than just showing up and talking about the Bible. It's living life together. Through birth, through death, through everything in between. But God showed me something that day that because of our church, because we reached out with a flyer and knocked on someone's door, because we did an event, because we offered a service and salvation, and because I had a life group that I ministered to women every week. And let me tell you, it was a sacrifice. I had three young children, full-time ministry. I'm running like five life groups. And there was days on a Monday night that Josh and I would get in a huge fight before my life group. Because we were both exhausted. And one day I show up, my assistant's there, and guess what? Only one person showed up. Guess who that one person was? It was Jenny. And God taught me something in that moment as well, that I could have been like, oh man, nobody showed up. I'm a failure. I shouldn't ever do life groups. But God said, no, I divinely orchestrated this because I want you to minister personally to her today. And so we began to minister to her heart. We began to see inner healing and deliverance and getting prayed over her and get filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't ever underestimate those moments. And I didn't know a year later she would be gone. But God entrusted us with her and her girls. And their lives were completely transformed because of the we, because of community. But the third thing is we draw courage from one another. We draw courage from one another. In Acts 4:29, it says, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. This scripture gets me every time. Here these disciples are being pure persecuted, getting thrown into jail. And what did they pray? Lord, deliver me. God, take me far away from this place. God, deal with our adversary. No, that's not what they prayed. God, give us boldness. Give us boldness to witness the message of Jesus Christ. See, when you're together, there is courage. When you're alone, you might feel like the enemy's coming out to get you, but when you're in a big group, come on, you are not afraid. And I know this for a fact, because one year when I was a teenager, we went to New York on a missions trip. How many of you been in New York? It can be kind of scary, the subways, the roads, and we were going down like alleys and dark places and Brooklyn, I mean, all these things. But you know what? As a young teenage girl, I was living my best life. I was not scared at all. Why? Because there was 60 of us with a good majority of big Hawaiians with us. The Mamwad family from Molokai. They took up the rear of our group. They just they placed themselves there. And it was like a huge family that was big and ready to anybody that came our way, right? And so there was no fear. There's power in numbers. See, the devil wants to isolate you and push you off to the side and beat you up. But you know what? When you get in a community like this, you got people that says, Satan, get thee behind me. Get away from this person and away from their family and away from their children and away from their destiny. And you have people that fight near you. I love Jonathan and his armor bearer. You know, that went and they had no fear. They just said, come on, may if the Lord be with us, let's go and overtake them. You're going to get courage to do what you never could do. For years, the Lord has put on my heart to start writing and producing resources and material and books, and I just couldn't do it. I just had so much fear. I had so much insecurity. I said, I'm not a writer, God. I don't have time. I made every excuse in the book. Anybody know that one? You make every excuse in the book why you can't do what God's called you to do. You get the prophetic word every single year. You say, God, why am I keep getting the same prophetic word? Well, maybe you need to do something about it. Hey, okay. Push for Power Conference in February. No, I'll be back. I'll be back then, hopefully. No. But you know what? I have Minister Leah's sister, Rachel, who's my creative assistant, and Hoku Hayden, who actually returned to Jesus when she was in Alaska. Some of you know her up here. I call them my right and my left, and they came alongside me. When I share a vision, they said, let's do it, Pastor. We got you. Rachel would come with her creative side. Hoku would come with her professional editing and writing, and we would begin to brainstorm, and we begin to come together, and God has birthed about 4 or 5 Bible studies. Pastor Josh and I are in the middle of writing a marriage book right now, and I'm telling you, don't do it alone. You'll find courage when you come together. We're starting right this next week, Impact Leadership Network in Maui. It's our professional and marketplace ministry. And one of my mentors said this, in a room like this, 1 to 2 people sitting next to you either has the connection or the answer to the dream that you want to accomplish. It's being in the right room. Everyone say, be in the right room. You're in the negative room, you're in an ungodly room, that's what will happen. But you get in a room like this, you get kingdom-minded thinkers, you get increased thinkers, you get spirit-filled believers, you begin to share your issues, your problems. You say, does anybody have any ideas? That person will say, oh, I have that connection, and I know what to do because I went through that in my business. And you're gonna see increase and blessing come upon you, amen? But the fourth thing is we find significance and purpose in community. Early on in the ministry, I learned a powerful principle, and I call it the principle of the shift. See, when I was a teenager in 1995 in Maui, great revival hit our church. And as a young girl, all I wanted was to receive, 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 receive. God, touch me. God, fill me. God, I want to touch. I want to touch. I want to encounter you. Now, is that a good heart? Absolutely. I was hungry. I was desperate. I wanted God to touch me. But when I went to college, Pastor Josh and I and Dr. Janelle, and obviously this is before they were pastors or doctors, we were all just by our first names, okay? We started a young adult ministry called Underground. And we began, he would lead worship and preach, and we would call people up and pray. That's where my prophetic gift began to emerge. It's through that young adult ministry, God would show me things, I'd pray, we would organize. I mean, it was like God was beginning to prepare us. And I realized something, that in that moment, it was so much better to give and to minister than just to receive. It was the principle of the shift. It shifted. Yes, it's wonderful to come to church and get fed and get poured into and get hands laid on you. But there is something so different in your relationship with God. When God begins to start flowing through you to touch somebody else, it's called significance. It's called purpose. It's called you see God using you and you go, what, me? And you realize, wow, God, you are real. Wow, God, you do love me. This is incredible. How many of you want to shift today just from receiving to giving to ministering to releasing the word of God to praying over people to leading a life of you might say Pastor Shannon, I don't know how to preach the word. You don't have to preach. Can you love somebody? Can you open your home? You know what the secret is? Just have some food and coffee and people will come to your house and you just love them, love on them. You pray for them. You get in the word together and you just let them share and you just lift each other up and God will begin to do something great. Just be willing. Just say yes. I love the Amish community because they do something really significant. It's called barn raising. Anybody ever heard of that? They gather the community in one day to put and build and raise a barn in one day, and the whole community comes for one person. And I was like, oh, come on, that's like kings. We are working together that when a church needs to be built, I'll pay for it. When a church is being built, oh, I can go help build. We've had so many people that have traveled to different extensions and different churches to say, oh, I'll use my gift. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. God has given each and every one of you a gift, and you are important. You have such great value. You're not just filling a seat. You're not just a number in our attendance. God appointed you, and there is significance when you serve God. You find something, it fills you up, and you feel such joy. Even the word of God says, he who refreshes others will be refreshed. I give my life to ministry, but I love it because when I give, God pours right back into me. This last week, we had our power conference in Maui. It was incredible, and then staff training, but it was intense. This was the first conference in 44 years that Dr. Morocco and Pastor Colleen could not attend. And I just want to say thank you for praying for Dr. How many have been praying for our global senior pastor? Thank you so much. He's doing so much better. He's recovering. Just continue to pray. But you know, that was a shift in our lives. We had to step in and use the gifts that God has given us. And we poured out a lot and we gave a lot. And we just said, God, we're all in, Jesus. And you know that somebody blessed us with a week in a 2-bedroom condo on the top floor, ocean view. And this was a man we didn't even know from the mainland. It was a supernatural blessing. And I'm gonna tell you, when you serve God, when you sacrifice, when you give one of your nights up a week, when you give time, God knows how to bless his children. God will fill your cup. God will give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Don't make mistakes. I mean, don't make excuses. And sometimes we will make mistakes, but let God use you because you will find your greatest purpose in serving others. But number five, we sharpen one another. Woo! I saved this one for the bottom because we don't always like this one. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so when one man sharpens another. You will get sharpened. You will get challenged in community. But that is what you need because our human tendency is to stay in the most comfortable, most wonderful position. You know, if I could stay in my lazy boy all day, I would. But that's not fulfilling the purpose on your life. You need someone that's gonna challenge, that's gonna push you, that's gonna tell you you can do it. I thank God I had a husband that every time he pushed me into ministry, he pushed me into preaching, he pushed me into prophesying. Did I ever feel like I was capable, able, or did I ever always want to? I didn't always want to do it. But I thank God for a man that saw the gift on the inside of me. You know, have any of you ever played sports before? I played many sports in high school. And do you get mad at the coaches or your teachers when they call you out on some stuff, when they say, hey, I see you can be better. You can throw better if you do it this way. You can make a basket better if you do it this way. When they do some strength training in you, strength training, listen, I work out at Planet Fitness. I'm trying to be buff like my husband. I barely lift any weight, but I'm trying, right? I hate leg day. Anybody hate leg day? I hate leg day. And it hurts. And I barely can walk up the steps the next day. Sharpening each other and challenging each other and confronting each other is part of a healthy community. And too many of us run away when it's uncomfortable. Too many of us run away when someone calls us out on some stuff. But that's what a true body is. That's what a true family is. See, it would be impossible for these iron, if iron and iron, two irons are put together, it's impossible for one tool to become sharper without the presence of the other. How many of you want to be sharp for God? See, too many of us, listen to this, left isolated, both blades would be dull and quite useless. You need that person sitting next to you. Look at that person and say, I need you to sharpen me. I need you to help me to go from glory to glory, to go to that next level, to push me out of my comfort zone, to challenge me that I can do more. You can do more in the house of the Lord. Don't hold back. See, Proverbs 11:14 says, for lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. Who's mentoring you? Who are you coming under so that you can grow to that next level? One day we're gonna stand before the Lord. He is gonna judge us for what he's given us. And the church here, the pastors here, the team here, they're trying to get you to look good, as Dr. Bronco says, on judgment day. Hey, have you ever heard a church say that before? But that's a good thing. We're not just worried about you looking pretty and all good right now. We're talking about you standing before the Lord someday, and he's gonna say, well done, good and faithful servant, come into my rest, amen? But the last and final thing, are you guys getting something out of today? Hallelujah, it's so good to be here with you guys. The last point is this, we make an eternal impact together. Don't ever feel like what you do is insignificant. I went to the door today, and there's this sweet lady, I don't know if she's in the service, holding up the sign that just said, welcome, we're so glad you're here. And I said, thank you for doing what you do. It's so significant. Those that work behind all the baristas behind the cafe, all the children's workers, please thank your children's workers. Please thank your youth workers. They're giving of their time. You know, this last time in Maui, it was pretty significant during staff training, as the team really surrounded Pastor Josh and I. Pastor Daniel actually kind of was the fire starter of this kind of prophetic act of them coming around us and lifting our arms. It was so humbling because we serve under the greatest pastors in the world, my in-laws and our pastors, and God is doing something as the generations are shifting and things are happening with transition. Pastor Kelly and Pastor Brian, who pastor our church in Oregon, they were Josh and I's children's pastors. She came up to me and she said, kind of jokingly, you better watch how you treat your kids in kids' ministry, because one day they could grow up and become your pastors. You know, and it's true. When you serve in the youth, when you serve in the kids, when you're doing this, this is a generational house. This isn't a one-generation house. This is from generation to generation. The blessings of the Lord are coming upon you and upon your children and your children's children. What are you doing now that's going to make an impact for them later? They will model after you. When they see you serve, when they see you open your home, when they see you knocking on a door, when they see you saying yes to serve, they will follow after you as you model it to them. Let's be a church that doesn't just do it to just do it or for accolades, but it's for an eternal impact. See, we're better together. And I love this last story of when the geese fly in a V. It's so significant, and I love just God's creation because it's just so incredible that they fly in a V, so when the air comes at them, it actually helps them fly faster because they form this V that kind of cuts through the air and eliminates the drag. And as they fly together, they go farther and faster. But what's so beautiful and unique is when that one at the front who has to work the hardest starts getting tired, that little guy moves to the back and the next one moves to the front. And that one has a chance to kind of rest and gain his strength. And that's what this is. You're not alone. Be a part of a church that runs together, wars together, prays together, stands together, because you are making a difference in this community. You are making a difference in this state. You are making a difference in this nation. Amen. How many of you believe it? So I end with this, Hebrews 10, 24, 25. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let's work together. Let's band together. So in conclusion, let's review, and then I'm going to pray. The power of we over me. Number one is what? We experience help, a healing, encouragement, love, and prayer. We carry each other's burdens. We draw courage for one another, even when fear is trying to overtake us. We find significance and purpose in community, using your gifts, using your talents, using the anointing that God's given you. We sharpen one another and we make an eternal impact that is heard throughout eternity, that goes from generation to generation. Can we just give God praise this morning? How many of you want to be a part of the we? How many of you want to be a part of this community to make a difference, not just for the now, but for the future? I want you to stand to your feet this morning. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just searching your own heart. See, in this moment, God is going to speak to you personally. See, I just preached this word, but it went probably 100 different directions into your heart. What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you today? Is he saying for you to rise up? Maybe you've been in a life group for years, but it's time to lead. God's calling out leaders today. Maybe your schedule's been so busy and you've just let so many other things. God is saying, make room. Because I want miracles. I want salvation in your home. I want to use you in a profound way. Maybe you've allowed fear and insecurity and you just don't know what it's going to look like being in a group because you've got so much stuff going on internally. But God says, I want you to be vulnerable. I want you to get out of isolation. I want you to find friends. I want you to find a community. And listen, the church ain't perfect. There's no perfect people here. Sometimes it's messy. Don't give up. When it gets hard, if one group doesn't work, find another group. It's okay. You understand? You got to keep moving forward. You got to be like a duck and let some things roll off. As a matter of fact, tonight, don't miss tonight. We did a series called Fractured, Overcoming the Pains of Church Hurt. And I'm going to be preaching a message, a powerful message tonight that's going to bring healing and forgiveness to many of you that have been hurt. And that's part of the process because some of you have been hurt. And so you're gun shy. You don't want to step back into community because you were hurt in community. But I'm going to tell you this. Yes, many times we're hurt in community, but you're also healed in community. God works that way. And you're going to find healing. But with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here and you say, Pastor Shannon, this message stirred in me. And I want to respond. I want to be a part of the we. I want to be a part of this church and make a difference, whether it's serving on a team, whether it's being in a life group, whether it's rising in leadership. If that's you, I want to pray for you because God did that for me. And I'm here today because I said yes to the little things. I said yes to leading a life group or serving on a team. If that's you, can I just pray for you? On the count of three, just lift your hands. Ready? One, two, three. You're saying, I want to be a part of the we. I want to be a part of this culture. I want to make a difference. Come on, just let me pray for you right now. Holy Spirit, I pray right now. And even those watching online, God's calling some of you home. God says, come back into the house of God. Come put your feet on this carpet. Come get a hug from somebody else. The Lord is anointing you. Many of you are being raised up today. There's a shift happening from just receiving to giving. And God says, you're gonna find that fulfillment. You're gonna find that significance and that purpose. You've been crying out for the more. God says, I've given it to you right now. Take the bold step. take courage and take heart. And Lord, use each and every one as they open their homes, as they open, Lord, coffee shops and restaurants and in their businesses. God, use them to reach this community in your power and your might. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, I just feel like the Lord even said, don't give up. Some of you that lead groups, don't give up inviting people. Brother Mike Sisson used to live in Maui and was in our school, and he was over a group, and he called a list of guys every Thursday. And there was one guy he called a million times, he felt, that never answered, never responded. And that one day he was like, I'm not calling this kid anymore. And the Holy Spirit said, no, you don't. The Holy Spirit said, you call him. And he picked up the phone and he called him, and that kid answered. And that day he went and picked that kid up and took him to life group. And God did a work in his life. Don't ever give up. Some of you that have been leading, be encouraged. You're making an impact. You're making a difference. But also, I just want everyone just to be searching your heart. Maybe you're here and this is your first time. If you really didn't like it today, come back, because I'm not the lead pastor here. No, I just took it. Pastor Danielle Karen will be back next week. This is an amazing church. But you know what? Our heart, the most important moment right now is, do you have a relationship with Jesus? It all starts there. The greatest we relationship is you and Jesus and the Lord. And so maybe you're here with every head bowed and every eye closed, just people just taking the time to just search your heart. Maybe you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you're saying, Pastor Shannon, I want my sins to be forgiven. I want to be washed clean. I want heaven to be my home. I don't want to live for myself anymore, for me, myself, and I, but I want to be a part of a Christ-centered community. If that's you and you say, Pastor Shannon, I want to give my heart to Jesus, can you just lift your hands on the count of three? Can I pray for you? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Right now, all over this house. Come on, I see those hands. I see those hands. Yes. Or maybe you've served the Lord, you've given your heart to Jesus, but you're not serving him 100%. You're not all in, and you're saying, God, I need to break off the sin, the compromise, the shame, and I wanna give my heart back to you. I wanna return to you today. If that's you, can you just lift your hands right now? Thank you, Lord. I see those hands. I see those hands. I see all those hands. Thank you, Lord. This is so powerful. Now, come on, as a body of Christ, let's say this prayer together. See, you're not alone today. When you raise your hand, you have a body that's praying it with you. Ready? Lord Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my life. I surrender all today. I don't want to live for myself anymore. I want to have a life of purpose and meaning. I believe that you died for me. I believe that God raised you from the dead. So make your home in me, cleanse me, wash me of all unrighteousness, make me brand new. The old is gone and the new has come today. Now fill me with your Holy Spirit. Just lift your hands all over this place. If you have the freedom to pray in the Holy Spirit, just begin to pray right now. Some of you are being filled. Some of you are being refreshed. Some of you that have been serving for years, God says a new wave of refreshing is coming upon you. New vision and dreams. There's gonna be a new grace that's coming upon you to run the race, says the Lord. Those that are just giving your heart to Jesus, God says, get ready. Get ready for the fire of heaven. Get ready for a transformation in your life and the relationships. Everything's about ready to change in Jesus' name.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you.